sex for their trouble. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fighting in Gaza should stop at midnight Eastern time for the first of a series of pauses, followed by the exchange of Hamas hostages and Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. The BBC's Anna Foster.
7 a.m. that ceasefire would begin, and then really a wide period of time. They're talking 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon that the first batch of civilian hostages would be handed over.
Those are all local times. Beagle Scout Snoopy, SpongeBob SquarePants among the new balloons at this morning's Thanksgiving parade in New York.
It's awesome to get out here and get to see these balloons. You know, it's nice. Brings me back to old days of going to the Thanksgiving parade.
A chemical train derailment forces evacuation of residents in Livingston, Kentucky.
I was freaking out because I'm like, we're cooking. We got turkeys in the oven. We can't leave.
Linda Todd and others will get Thanksgiving dinners and hotel rooms from CXX for their trouble. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
What is the meaning behind Movember? It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fighting in Gaza should stop at midnight Eastern time for the first of a series of pauses, followed by the exchange of Hamas hostages and Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. The BBC's Anna Foster.
7 a.m. that ceasefire would begin, and then really a wide period of time. They're talking 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon that the first batch of civilian hostages would be handed over.
Those are all local times. Beagle Scout Snoopy, SpongeBob SquarePants among the new balloons at this morning's Thanksgiving parade in New York.
It's awesome to get out here and get to see these balloons. You know, it's nice. Brings me back to old days of going to the Thanksgiving parade.
A chemical train derailment forces evacuation of residents in Livingston, Kentucky.
I was freaking out because I'm like, we're cooking. We got turkeys in the oven. We can't leave.
Linda Todd and others will get Thanksgiving dinners and hotel rooms from CXX for their trouble. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
As goes Wisconsin.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee got off to a slow start and lost to the Celtics 119-116. Boston was up 21 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin compared the game to a Dickens novel.
Tell of two games there. First half, I thought, you know, you have to execute at a high level. And we miss a lot of shots. Whatever you do when you play the Celtics or a team like that, you got to multiply it by two.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers got hot late in the fourth quarter to beat SMU 69-61 to win the Fort Myers tip-off title. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for Minnesota on Saturday. Luke Fickell will ask if he has enough healthy starters to compete.
You know, there's a lot of those things that we're going to have to figure out as we move forward. Like I said, everybody hurts, right? It's the last week of the season. And everybody hurts, but everybody wants to play in the rivalry game.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The holiday weekend will be travel friendly overall, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly sunny, colder. 31 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight will drop down to 14. Tomorrow, sunshine 28. Mostly cloudy 31 Saturday. We'll get to 33 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, the happy... the Thanksgiving gobbler himself, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, the 23rd of November, 2023. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Glad to have you along on a Thursday. Mr. Zommers?
You said I was the Thanksgiving yes, gobbler, so.
That was perfect. That was great. How are you?
I imagine I'm doing well. I will be in Manitowoc, or yes. I mean, I am.
You are currently, yes. For those of you who are listening in, we are recording this show a few days before the actual holiday in order that Mr. Zommers and myself and everybody else can be with their families on Thanksgiving. I'm a big believer in that. So if you're listening today, we appreciate it. But hopefully you're having a great Thanksgiving. Very mindful that a lot of people, you know, many of us are fortunate enough to be with friends and family today. But for whatever reason, there are people who aren't. Whether they have to work or whether it's just distance or other circumstances. So a lot of this show today is for you all. And we're glad and honored to keep you company and to celebrate the day with you. Forecast is going to be a little chilly for today. Comparatively, last week, beautiful. I mean, it felt like, you know, the end of summer almost. But more seasonable temperatures for today on Thanksgiving Day. Perhaps you're a big football fan. And if you are, why are you listening to this show? No, I'm just kidding. Because the Packers have already started. The Packers began today at 11:30 this morning. And now just after 12 noon, the big question is the game already out of reach for Green Bay? What do you think?
Well, you know, I could see it going either way because I now a couple weekends ago watched their game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And it was close.
It was close. A couple of interceptions away, but it was close. But no, I hope the Packers do well. If you don't realize it, they are playing right now over on Fox if you're watching television. But even better, if you live in Richland Center, you can tune in on WRCO on the FM side. If you're in Racine and Kenosha in that area, you can listen in on WRJN. And if you are up north, in Park Falls, you can listen on the FM side on WCQM. So those are Packer affiliate stations. Unfortunately, we are not allowed to stream the Packer games on the Civic Media app because of NFL rights. So you have to live in either or around Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, or Park Falls. And you can listen on one of those great stations on the Civic Media radio network. If you're looking for us on Facebook or Twitter, you normally watch the video portion. Again, because today's show is pre-recorded, you can either listen to us over the air on one of our great stations, 13 stations across Wisconsin on the statewide Civic Media Radio Network, or you can listen in on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, today is a great day to do it. You're sitting around watching football, having some turkey. Simply go to your app store on your Apple or your Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, little CM logo will come up. You can download it. It is free. It takes less than 60 seconds-ish It's what Gail King over at CBS The Mornings calls a deal.
And that's something to be thankful for. A nice, free, nifty little app. I will say it actually, it is a very nice app.
They've upgraded it and it works. It by and large works great. What I love about it, and I use it myself because I'm here, we're here in the capital city in Madison. And sometimes there is other programming on other stations that, you know, you can't get over the air. So I just take out my app and I scroll through to whatever station I want to listen to and just hit it and boom, right there, right in the palm of my hand.
Yeah, so, same here. Or if you're driving.
Yeah, if you're driving, any place that you have cell service or Wi-Fi, or as they say in Central America, Wi-Fi, if you have that, you can listen to the Civic Media app. So yes, you're exactly right. Something else to be thankful for. Here's your big football lineup today, by the way. The Packers are playing right now against the Detroit Lions in Detroit over on Fox and again on the Civic Media Ready Network, as long as you live in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, or Park Falls. Later on this afternoon on CBS, it'll be the Washington Commanders, not Commandos, but Commanders, the Washington Commanders at Dallas, taking on the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know why, what it is, but always great to see the Cowboys and the Packers on Thanksgiving. Particularly enjoy seeing Jerry Jones up in the box to see what sort of facelift he's gotten recently. So I'm not even sure. Anyway, but yes, Washington plays Dallas this afternoon at 3:30 on CBS. And then tonight, the big game tonight, NBC, you can watch it either over the air or, yes, on the Peacock at 7:20 this evening, 7:20. These are all Central Wisconsin time. So the Packers playing right now, Washington and Dallas at roughly 3:30 this afternoon, Wisconsin time. And tonight at 7:20 on NBC, it is the 49ers at Seattle. And Luke Mathers, our executive producer, reminded me that because of all these NFL lawyers, there is no game on Prime tonight, on Amazon Prime. So no Al Michaels tonight on Thanksgiving, as you normally would. They're playing that game tomorrow, apparently. An NFL game on a Friday, which I don't like at all.
I wonder how that came about.
Money.
Well, contracts, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Like everything else. But, of course, the big game tomorrow in the college football world, if you're a Badger, is our Wisconsin Badgers traveling to Minnesota to take on the PJ Flexters. And as we record this, PJ Fleck is still the coach of Minnesota. Now, by the time this airs on Thanksgiving, maybe he's already been fired because things have not been going well for Minnesota, much like Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin just got a new coach. There's virtually no chance we're going to get rid of him, Fickle. But the Flexters, it may be the final Flexter versus Fickle, the first and final.
The first and final Flexter-Fickle face-off.
That is exactly what it is. We shall see. But what you want, regardless whether the Badgers are bowl eligible, and hopefully they are, you want to get the axe. Because even when Wisconsin was not so great many years ago, you always had the battle for the axe. This is the longest ongoing Division I college football rivalry in sports. So it's a big game on Saturday. Up at Minnesota. You can listen to that. That you can actually listen to for free on the Civic Media app, particularly on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. Also on WRJN Racine Kenosha up in Wisconsin Rapids and Amory as well. So you can listen to Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher call the Battle for the Axe Wisconsin at Minnesota. So that game coming up as well.
We'll have to get in contact with Kara Foster from Weatherology. If you listened to the show when we used to be in the morning, we had Weatherology call in, and we had the wonderful Kara Foster, who is from Minneapolis, call in. And we talked about seeing if we could get both of us to go to this game, or Todd and Kara meet up.
And the season for either team just did not go well as planned. And so I think, there was just the pomp and circumstance was not there. And, after that crushing defeat from Northwestern, it really put, it just put a pall over the season. And then last week when Wisconsin played Nebraska, some of the players didn't actually play because they're looking at doing the transfer portal because there's been this kind of division in the team of guys who are like, hey, if you don't want to play here, don't play here. And Minnesota has not done great either. So it really does come down for the battle of the axe to see the last part of excitement for, I think, Wisconsin and Minnesota this Saturday.
Yeah, I know one of my friends was at that game and he said it was just so frustrating because they weren't trying.
Yeah. The Wisconsin and Northwestern game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough times for the Wisconsin Badgers for sure, but I still believe that Coach Fickell will get things sorted out here given another year or so. Hopefully also enjoyed time maybe just sitting by yourself over a cup of coffee or what have you. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Now, my sister and I are going to be together, and we're together this morning as we record this on Thanksgiving. We love the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Mr. Sommers, are you a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade watcher?
Yeah, my family, when we all still lived at home, every morning we'd always be up and we'd like have the TV on in my parents' bedroom and the TV on in the living room. Oh. You know, once we get to the point where there's more than one thing going on and different coverage of the different parades. And then go and be like, all right, which room is the most exciting right now?
See, that's it. Because, I mean, there's different networks that cover it. And, you know, I tend to go with NBC for this one because they are the official network. And just to see Al Roker. I get my Al's mixed up. But, you know, Al Roker, it's great because he usually comes in sauced. And
Yeah, sure. I'm sure.
Maybe cranberry sauce. But it's great to watch him. It's great to watch the balloons, the choreography, and then to see which celebrity lip syncs the songs the worst.
That is another important feature.
So hopefully you enjoy the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade as well. Here's something. I did not know this until I started researching for the show last week. Today, the 23rd of November, happens to also be National Espresso Day.
Todd, I know what you're going to do today.
Well, I'm probably not going to be near the espresso machine today. But today I did not know that today, 23rd of November, National Espresso Day, the word espresso in pronunciation by Italians, it means quick in time. Before the advent of the espresso machine, espresso was also made by more recently roasted and freshly ground beans. The cup was brewed shortly before serving. In the late 1800s, the practice was commonplace in cafes and restaurants. And of course, you know, more recently, the last 10 to 15 years, it's been brought back with specialty coffee makers. Are you a fan of espresso?
Yeah, I don't drink a lot of coffee because the caffeine doesn't go well with me, but I love the way it tastes. So every once in a while, I'll do it anyway. Most recently, my younger sister got what she thought was an espresso maker, but it's really just a coffee machine with a milk steaming wand.
Yeah.
And it does not work very great.
As someone who was in the coffee industry, who owned a couple of different coffee shops, you know, I don't consider myself an expert on much, but I'm darn near an expert on coffee. And I will tell you, most of the so-called quote-unquote espresso machines on the market, like if you're going to go shopping tomorrow for Black Friday and you see an espresso machine by Cuisinart for a couple hundred bucks.
It's not an espresso machine.
You're not going to get what you're, I mean, really logistically, you probably have to spend $700-$800 plus in order to get a legit espresso machine.
Because otherwise it's just, it doesn't have the pressure and the fast brewing
exactly
that you need.
Yep, got to have the pressure. Yeah, there's usually a boiler or a double boiler inside that gets the water very, very hot. The right pressure, the right tamper. I could go on for days and days. But yeah, unless you're willing to shell out $1,000 or thereabout, probably just best to go to your local good cafe and make sure they're good beans, not burnt, but just good espresso beans. Make sure you have a barista that really knows what they're doing, how to pull a proper shot, and then order this drink. It's called a cortado.
That's good. Cortados are delicious. Yes.
Try one of those at a legit espresso cafe bar. You will thank me later. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about one of our Thanksgiving Day leftovers from a couple of weeks ago. Something you did not hear on the air. It was only on the stream. We're going to play it for you next. Don't go away. This is our special Thanksgiving Day show, the Todd Allball Show, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the CBS, CBS, on the Civic Media Radio Network. See, this has got me all mixed up. Why are you, I mean, this is the one, I am very anti-Christmas music on Thanksgiving Day proper. Why would you play that today?
See, I didn't remember, I was going to ask you that, if Christmas, like, when's the right time to start Christmas music? And normally,
well, that's exactly the right question to ask.
Normally, personally, I would definitely say after Thanksgiving.
I would say 8 a.m. on Good Friday, or a Good Friday, on Black Friday morning.
Well, we broke that.
No,
and that's my fault.
No, you're fine. I understand. I mean, I think there are some people that are going to, I mean, there are people out there that kind of celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas together, because like if you have a large family or people don't live close by, you say, well, we'll just have a holiday meal. And that's fine. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But, you know, I'm one. I mean, I you see this now, right? Like it's not even Halloween and you go to places like Target, Walmart, and their Christmas sections are already up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was just at Meijer, like, just after Halloween. And yeah, Christmas section already huge.
And still, I'm just one of those. I like a good Thanksgiving Day celebration. I like some pumpkin pie. I like some turkey. I like some football. I like being thankful. I like fall leaves. And then that's fine. And then on Black Friday, if you want to go out like we do very often, is go to a Schaller Tree Farm in Southwest Wisconsin, Richland Center, cut mom's Christmas tree and put that up on the Friday or Saturday after. I got no problem with that. I just think that we need to, whether or not you're particularly religious or not, I think it's just a good thing to stop and pause for one day a year and say, hey, this is what I'm thankful for. And I'm thankful for my friends and family and the blessings that I have.
I agree.
So tomorrow's show, join us. We'll have more Christmas music. So here, speaking of Thanksgiving, a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Zomers and I got into a conversation, and we were talking about, we had a guest on, Peter Rapine of EPOM's World, and he mentioned that the inventor of the Segway had died via an accident. And we'll come back afterwards and explain more. But here was the conversation you never heard that was only on the stream after we got off the air. Mr. Zomers. It was a good show, a goofy show, a little in some ways, but it was a good show.
Yeah.
Great first hour, all those callers. That was
oh, yeah, fantastic. A lot of people called.
And now, if there's anybody still listening, we're going to find out, because we had a late breaking news. Late breaking news that apparently the inventor of the Segway did not drive himself off of a cliff.
No, he did.
I
looked it up.
You looked it up?
So I think the way that Peter said it, it was implied that it was suicide, and that is not correct. It was an accident. He was on a Segway.
Wait. Why did we not talk about... All right, for those of you who are still on the stream, this may be the best part of the show. Tell us more.
So he was riding a Segway. It was a rough riding model, you know, for
it's
off-road
a rider.
Segway.
You're telling me there was a Rough Rider Segway. All right, go ahead. This is a terrible story, and it couldn't be more fantastically entertaining to me.
Absolutely. He was going on his morning ride, and he scooted backwards to let a dog walker come by.
No.
And he went a little bit too far and fell off a cliff.
No.
And then later they found his Rough Riding Segway down there, and they found him, and they said his injuries were indicative of falling and hitting a bunch of rocks. And then he died.
we should have done that on the air. I had no idea because I was nervous. I'm like, well, okay, maybe Peter got it wrong. You know, I want to fact check it here. We should have absolutely talked about this over the air.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. But that's fantastic right there. So it just goes to prove our old friend Tom Jackson, who likes to remind people no good deed goes unpunished. You back your Segway up to let a dog walker go by and you drive off a cliff.
Jeff Perry has a similar experience, or so he says. I drove a Segway off of Bascom Hill, 13 stitches.
Is that true? I don't think he's making that up. That actually might be the truth.
It could be.
Wow. I've never been on one. Have you?
Me either. No.
Oh, my God.
I've been on like a hoverboard that, you know. Where honestly, the most fun thing to do with those is not even to stand on it and ride it that way. I put my forearms on where your feet go, and then you can just kind of lean forward and drag the rest of your body on the ground like a weird worm.
Is there any way to get engineering to stop CBS News right now? Because I feel like this is a more important segment. I feel like this is more important than CBS News. Here's my sister weighing in, the poor dog walker.
Can you imagine witnessing that?
Exactly. Yes. I mean, you know.
Also, Jeff says, no, I'm a serial liar.
I know he is, but I thought maybe that was the one bit of truth. Yeah, I mean, that's a terribly tragic story that I find absolutely hilarious.
But, like, I might have to look into it more because it didn't say if anyone reported it or if they just went looking for him and he was missing. Because, like, if you're that dog walker and you witnessed that, wouldn't you call 911 immediately? If you, like, see this relatively old guy riding his Segway and he's like, go on through. Ah!
What makes it even funnier is if the dog walker just kept on going, just like, oh, whatever.
Happens every day.
Right, yeah. Guy deserved it. He's on a Segway. Because, see, my experience with a Segway, we had during the Act 10 protests, there was this guy, Jeremy, who's gotten arrested several times for protests. He was known as Jeremy the Segway Boy because he was always on a Segway, even inside. And he'd bring the Segway in the Capitol. He'd ride it into committee room meetings.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was terrible to, like, move everything around. And he claimed that he was like, handicapped and needed to move around. And so they had to let him do it. But it turned out that he was a complete lie. But they called him Jeremy the Segway. The funny part is, he used to follow Robin Voss down State Street when he was having an affair with Michelle Lichkins, now his wife, and on a Segway. With like a video camera or a phone or like recording it. Yeah. See, now this is high class entertainment right here.
Absolutely. Todd Alba show after hours on
right,
a Friday.
After hours. This is a Friday after hours show right here. You find out things you did not know. All right. Well, maybe we'll have to save this. Maybe this will be part of the Thanksgiving Day show.
It is recorded.
All right. All right. Well, if you're hearing this over your Thanksgiving turkey, say an extra prayer for the founder of the Segway who inadvertently drove off a cliff after making way for a dog walker.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Put that in your Thanksgiving turkey and stuff it.
And with that, goodbye. Have a good weekend.
Now, look. Now, right there. People say, you know, are you the same on the air as you are off? That right there, I was off the air.
I think that proves it.
That this goofiness, it's not made up. I mean, I thought that was one of the best things you maybe have ever done.
I thought it was really funny.
I thought it was fun, but also informative. And just to be clear, it was the Segway, the person who was like the owner of the Segway company, not the actual inventor.
Yes, we did look at. If you look up Segway inventor death, it comes up. But if you look up Segway inventor, a different person comes up. Yeah, it's not the inventor. It's the owner of the company. Not anymore, obviously.
Not anymore. If you have something to be thankful for, be thankful you did not own the company Segway and back up for a dog walker and fall to your peril. Back with more Thanksgiving Day specials after this. This is the Todd Alba Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents apiece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee got off to a slow start and lost to the Celtics 119-116. Boston was up 21 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin compared the game to a Dickens novel.
Tell of two games there. First half, I thought, you have to execute at a high level. And we miss a lot of shots. Whatever you do when you play the Celtics or a team like that, you got to multiply it by two.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers got hot late in the fourth quarter to beat SMU 69-61 to win the Fort Myers tip-off title. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for Minnesota on Saturday. Luke Fickell will ask if he has enough healthy starters to compete.
You know, there's a lot of those things that we're going to have to figure out as we move forward. Like I said, everybody hurts, right? It's the last week of the season. And everybody hurts, but everybody wants to play in the rivalry game.
That's Wisconsin's head coach, Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The holiday weekend will be travel friendly overall, but it is going to be cold today. Mostly sunny, colder, 31 our high this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 10 to 20. Tonight will drop down to 14. Tomorrow, sunshine, 28. Mostly cloudy, 31 Saturday. We'll get to 33 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock What an intro. I see, Mr. Sommers, if we only had that kind of intro music every day.
We could, right?
But I mean, even back then, they knew how to introduce a piece.
They absolutely did.
Fantastic.
Also, recently, I've been practicing slide guitar, and one of the first times I picked up the guitar with the slide, just like picked two random strings, plucked it, and I was like, holy crap, that's the beginning of the Looney Tunes theme.
It's a great tune. There's so many great memories. And here to discuss it with us, we welcome back to the program, Brian Van Hooker. You can find his work at cracked.com. Great writer, great article here. Brian, first of all, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Great to have you with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, and it's our pleasure. And with all the craziness going on in the news, I think it's good sometimes to pause and reflect and look at the lighter side of life and things that we could all relate to. And we were talking before we had you on in the last piece there, or last segment. Mr. Sommers and I were talking about our own childhoods. And I said, look, I'm of the age where Looney Tunes characters and cartoons, that was the central part of television. There was no Comedy Central. You actually had to get your butt up at 7 or 7:30 on a Saturday morning and tune into CBS or NBC or what have you to watch the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. And these are just classic cartoons for a lot of us that you don't see anymore.
Yeah, I grew up with Looney Tunes as well. It's something I've loved my whole life. And we've been doing a lot of these big lists at Cracked lately, like the 100 greatest Simpsons characters, 100 greatest South Park characters, etc. And I thought we could do it for Looney Tunes because there are a lot of great characters, a lot of great cartoons. And yeah, so that was our thought.
As you wrote this piece, and again, it's called The 100 Greatest Looney Tune Characters, written by Brian Van Hooker. And you can find it at cracked.com. What was kind of the qualifier? How did you sort out all the characters? How did you rank them?
We kind of went back and forth on how many modern characters to include. For a while, I don't know if you're familiar with Tiny Toons. That was a show I grew up with.
Subway.
And there was a debate on whether or not those would be in the list or whatever. Ultimately, it was decided, let's stick strictly with Looney Tunes. But if a modern character has had a huge impact, like, say, Lola Bunny from Space Jam, she would make it in. But there's really only two characters in the whole list that weren't in the original shorts.
Wow.
And that's Lola Bunny and the Monstars from the first Space Jam movie. As far as how we rank them, I made a point to kind of get, like, the best people I possibly could to rank them. I just wanted to be I love Looney Tunes. I have lots of opinions on them. But I just wanted to be a facilitator for people who are more qualified than myself. So I got people like Ruth Clampett and Bob McKimson Jr., who are the descendants of two of the great Looney Tunes directors, Bob Clampett and Bob McKimson. So they're both their children. I got a guy named Bob Bergen, who's done the voice of Porky Pig and Tweety pretty much since Mel Blanc passed away. And Jeff Bergman, who's done the voice of almost every other Looney Tunes character since Mel Blanc passed away. A guy named Tom Ruger, who was the producer of Tiny Toons and who did shows like Animaniacs and is a huge Looney Tunes guy. A couple of historians like Jerry Beck, Andrew Farrago, an artist named Dave Alvarez, as well as a couple of Looney Tunes super fans. So I kind of got them all together for the most part. A couple were interviewed separately and we kind of hashed out who's the top 15. And then we went down from there as who's the bottom, who's the top. And it was kind of a fun discussion that we managed to wrangle 100 characters. And considering Looney Tunes is from a certain era, I was cautious. I didn't want to have too many characters that were date poorly, to put
it
mildly. So there actually ended up being very, very few of those. So
I'm impressed. This is just, you know, a couple of guys sitting around over a beer, you know, throwing darts at a board. I mean, you actually took this seriously. I mean, to your credit, and went to some of these historic people or has a historic litany or liturgy to these characters. This is fantastic. So this is serious stuff. And I appreciate the dedication with which you went about it. Let's get right into it. Did you have a couple that right off the top of the bat that are your personal favorites that you as a kid or whether it's a personal favorite or not, you just think deserve beyond maybe the top two or three, but you deserve that you need to be ranked?
A personal favorite of mine is Michigan J. Frog. I love that character. He was in one cartoon, One Froggy Evening, but that character's had a huge impact. And it's that cartoon is a great, perfect piece of comedy. And that character went on to host the WB Network for a few years, and he's in merchandise, all this stuff. So even though he's only in one cartoon, I thought, this is maybe a top 10 character. I was overruled by the experts, and I think he ended up at number 17. But I'm happy with 17 because it's still a high ranking for a character who was in one cartoon.
What was the cartoon that he was in? Which describe kind of the piece that he was in?
It's One Froggy Evening. This guy, unnamed, finds this. He's a construction worker guy, and he finds this box in a construction site. And he opens up the box, and it's this dull, nothing, normal frog. And then suddenly the frog jumps up and starts singing, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal." And the frog, he thinks immediately, I'm going to make $1 million off it. I'm going to be rich off this thing. So he brings it to agents and things like that. But every time he opens up the box in front of other people, the frog does nothing. It's just a normal frog. So the frog, from there, his greed goes on to ruin his own life. And every time he tries to make rich off the frog, nobody ever sees the frog do anything other than him. So it's just perfect comedy. And again, I thought it would bring Michigan J to the top 10, but I was slightly off.
So. I agree with you. And now that you say that, I guess when I think about it, yeah, I only remember him from that one piece, but they showed it so many times. I mean, I guess in my mind, I thought it was in more than one bit.
Yeah, no, just the one. That's just the one. I mean, he may have made modern appearances, you know, other movies, whatever. But like, he's in the one short. That's it.
if you know, dial it up, because if you haven't seen it, because it's one of my all-time favorites too. I mean, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime girl.
Yeah,
it's a great bit. Another personal favorite of yours.
Another personal favorite is the Gremlin from a short called Falling Hair. I forget what number he came in. He came in at number 32. Okay. Again, another character who was only in one short. It was this, in most shorts, Bugs Bunny was always got the better of everybody else. But every once in a while, somebody would get the better of Bugs. Mm-hmm. And the turtle is very well known for that. Cecil the turtle, because he would always beat him in the races.
Yeah.
Right. And the Gremlin was another one in a short called Falling Hair was my favorite Bugs Bunny short. One of two of my favorites. In a short called Falling Hair by Bob Clampett. And it's just this bunny who is terrorizing Bugs Bunny. It's just this little monster who's terrorizing Bugs Bunny for 7 minutes, and it's fantastic.
That's great. Looking, just scrolling through this, what I love about this is there are characters here that you may have forgotten, at least I'd forgotten about. Once you see him, like, oh, yeah. And they played second fiddle to the main person. And one of them at 93 is Slowpoke Rodriguez. And this is like, you know, Speedy Gonzalez's friend, who always isn't quite as smart, isn't quite as fast, but it's a hilarious little character.
Yeah, he's a tough one. He was one that we struggled with. Like, do we include him? Because there is, I mean, he is definitely based on a racial stereotype. So we were like, do we want to include this guy? And it's like, he certainly is memorable. He does get the better of Sylvester in the short. So he's not like a completely horrific little character.
Right.
And he's super memorable. So it was more like, okay, well, this character is important enough to include on the list. But let's just be aware that, like, let's just address the fact that, yeah, Looney Tunes is from the 40s. Not every view is going to be perfect. But this character still matters and should make it on the list.
And this is a larger discussion where don't need to go down the road too far. In my mind, unless it's just completely off the wall in today's world, I think there is a certain time when you have to look at these pieces of work through the lens of the era in which they were created and lived, and you can't necessarily apply 2023 lenses to something that was done in the 1940s.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I think it was. We didn't want to exclude a character simply because they've aged poorly or in some cases horrendously.
Right.
There's a character called Bosco, who was high on the list. Bosco is number 29, and he was a stereotype of an African-American child back in the 30s. But, like, the history of that was obscured, so his voice sounded like Mickey Mouse in a lot of the shorts. And they never showed the earliest shorts, what was clear where they use a racial stereotype. So even though he's the very first Looney Tunes cartoon, it's important to include him as part of the history. But then the whole article goes on to explain, like, yeah, this is unacceptable, certainly by modern standards. It should have been unacceptable then, but this is the very first Looney Tunes character. So let's address that history rather than pretend it didn't exist. So.
Yeah, well done. At number 87, this one in particular, I think, should be put on Ron DeSantis's campaign literature, the Tasmanian She-Devil, which is essentially the Tasmanian Devil in drag. And I love it. I mean, every part of it.
Yes. I mean, she is a separate character. She marries Tasmanian Devil, but the design, they didn't work really hard with figuring out how do we design this character.
I mean, it's just a Tasmanian Devil in high heels and lipstick and a veil, basically.
Yeah, there's nothing. They're like, just put a bow on it. That's a girl.
Right, exactly.
Minnie Mouse logic.
number 84, again, one of my, someone who I'd forgotten, but I actually, in real life, I have used this name before. I don't know why. A memorable character, Black Jacques Chirac. I mean, just a fantastic character. And again, a little stereotypical, maybe of French people or what have you, Italians, but I mean, it's a fantastic character.
Yeah, he's a funny one. Good Bugs villain. I think he was only in one or two shorts. It's just one of those characters that has a great name. Like, he's not like high up there like Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam, but like a funny little villain who carries a short or two, and that's it. So
I think it's just been fun to say the name. Black Jacques
Chirac. Great name. Also, the Shropshire Slasher is another character like that. Just funny name, funny drawing. That's all it took to make a memorable character.
Any other one? I want to get kind of the top 10 here eventually, but any other ones that stand out to you?
You know, one I thought was really cool is, and it kind of gave me a new appreciation for this, is number 76 and 75. Mm-hmm. 76 is a character called the Draft Horse, which was a very 1940s flag-waving pro-World War II cartoon. This horse wants to be drafted to the army. It's a whole short about that. It's very cute. Great cartoon. Mm-hmm. Number 75 is a little guy. It's the character is the little man from the draft board. It's from a short called Drafty Daffy, mm-hmm. where the short starts with Daffy Duck listening to the radio, and the Allied forces have just won some battle. Daffy's all patriotic. He's all happy about this. And he gets a knock at the door, and it's a man from the draft board serving him his draft notice. Mm-hmm. And from there, Daffy Duck proceeds to run away from this man. He tries to kill him. He does all these things not to get drafted. And this came out in 1945. And you think about it, like, it was such a daring cartoon because it's borderline unpatriotic given the sensibilities of the times.
Oh yeah.
And it is crazy funny because all it is Daffy doing everything he can not to serve his country. And it's great. It's so funny.
And I think that's a great point, is that even though a lot of these cartoons made me as a kid laugh a lot, you could tell now in hindsight, there was some messaging going on there to a larger audience.
There were never for kids. I mean, Looney Tunes shorts aired in front of regular movies that adults watched. So the Looney Tunes were never meant for kids. Eventually animation became more child centric, but when the Looney Tunes came out in the 30s, 40s, 50s, never meant for kids.
Very interesting. Number 66, one of my all time favorites, Penelope Pussycat. And this to me represents every person, male, female, what have you, that has just been like pursued by someone that they have no interest in and get away from me. And she personifies this, and I love everything about her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's on there. Obviously she was the foil to Pepe Le Pew, who's had a little bit of a rough go of things lately. He was edited out of the previous.
Really? We're going to come back.
He's edited out of Space Jam 2.
Really? I want to know more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're talking to Brian Van Hooker, the 100 best Looney Tunes characters of all time. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, a special Thanksgiving edition. Hopefully you're enjoying your dinner or time with family and friends or just hanging out with us. We appreciate it, Mr. Zomers and myself, taking you back to this conversation we had last week with Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com, talking about some of the best characters in the Looney Tune genre of animation. Picking up the conversation once again, here is Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com. Right now, we are honored to be joined by Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com. If you are a fan of animation, if you used to watch Looney Tune characters, if you still do, you want to check out this article at Cracked.com called The 100 Greatest Looney Tune Characters. It is a trip down memory lane, and it is just a joy and also fascinating, Brian Van Hooker, to hear the history of these characters.
Yeah, no, I really get excited about these kinds of things. So I know before the break we were talking about Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, Pepe Le Pew, one of my favorite all-time characters. Did he get caught up in the Me Too movement? What's going on here?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there was he kind of did. And you can kind of see why. He's a character who is constantly forcing himself on people. Like, I understand that the character would need to change if they were to make modern pieces.
Right.
It's also a character never meant to be admired. The character is an idiot.
Right. Exactly.
And like, so like, that was the point where like we had our historian, the guy named Jerry Beck, who's a very accomplished animation historian, film historian, point to the fact that this character was never meant to be a role model. He is something we're laughing at, not laughing with.
Exactly.
Because of that, the kind of lecherous nature of Pepe Le Pew, he was taken out of Space Jam, and
I am opposed to that.
I agree, but it's also like I understand how the character would need to change the times.
Well, of course, but
yeah,
to your point,
like, just like any character.
To your point, I mean, it's like, you know, you couldn't put All in the Family on today's show and have Archie Bunker on because of the outrageousness of it. But the whole point of Norman Lear was you're laughing at Archie Bunker. He's the idiot.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to represent, you know, that you don't want to be like that character. And to me, Pepe Le Pew was every person, male, female, whatever your gender or sexuality, we've all had or encountered or know of a person who thinks so much of themselves and they're an idiot and they keep trying to just pursue someone they'll never get.
I mean, that and when I was growing up, and I mean forever, that character is a huge character.
I love Pepe Le Pew.
So we put him in he ended up in the lucky number 13 spot, which you thought, like, he's a high ranking character, deserves to be a high ranking character. So let's just put him in there.
All right.
But be aware that
before we get to the top 10, number 65, one of my all time favorites, Hugo the Abominable Snowman.
He's a good one. I like that one. I mean, it's one of those ones that you like don't know the name of or anything, but you know parts of it. And it's one of many of Mice and Men parodies in Looney Tunes. Mice and Men is in so many Looney Tunes shorts, and Hugo's yet another Lenny.
And if you don't know the name, like Brian's saying, one of the lines is, you know, I'll pet him, I'll take him home, I'll pet him, I'll keep him, I'll name him George.
I love
that line. All right, let's go quickly to the top 10 because I don't want to run out of time. Number 10.
Number 10 ended up being Speedy Gonzalez. Another character.
That's fantastic.
Occasionally in Rocky history, but way beloved.
Yes.
Oscar winner.
Oscar winner?
So he's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. One of his shorts won an Oscar, and he's a There's five Looney Tunes shorts of the classic era won Oscars, and wow. One of them was with Speedy Gonzalez.
All right, cool. We gotta run through these so I don't run out of time. Number nine.
Foghorn Leghorn, my favorite.
I love
of the major cartoons. I love Foghorn Leghorn. Makes me laugh more than any other character by far. He's so funny.
He reminds me of people I grew up with. I'm serious. And that's not a slight to anybody in Richland Center. It just he's a very rural, you know, character who just thinks a lot of himself. Number eight.
Roadrunner.
What about the old?
It was only
famous.
Slightly out. Yes, and it was only slightly outranked by Wile E. Coyote. Oh, sorry. Only slightly outranked by Wile E. Coyote because Coyote has more of a personality to him than Roadrunner.
All right, so number
great characters.
Number seven.
Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, right. So there you go. Wile E. Coyote finally won, beat the Roadrunner by 1 point. number six.
Exactly. Yeah.
Number six.
Tasmanian Devil. Only in a few shorts, but super memorable. And during the 90s, that character was everywhere.
Right.
Sweatshirts, everything.
Yeah, he had a huge comeback.
Yeah.
Right. Number five.
Tweety.
Great, great character.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny character. Also had a big merchandising impact in the 80s and 90s. Great character.
And number four, Tweety's foil.
Sylvester, who's the most Oscar-winning Looney Tunes characters. He was in three of those five shorts. He's also the most versatile of the main cast. He's a pet. He's a speaking character. He's a father. He's in all kinds of different shorts and different roles. So
that's great. Great character. Number three.
Porky, who is the character that made Looney Tunes Looney Tunes. He was the first one where they stopped being Mickey Mouse ripoffs and they found their own voice. So
really,
he deserves to be there, if not higher. But yeah, he deserves to be there.
No, Porky Pig, a great, great character. Number two.
Daffy. Which, of course, and there's an added bonus to Daffy being number two is that he's slightly outpaced by Bugs as number one, and that would annoy the heck out of Daffy, which is great.
I mean, the Bugs Bunny and Daffy cartoons are just some of the all time favorite.
They're so great. They're so funny, and those characters, both amazing in their own right, and play off each other even better. So
despicable. What about is it when Bugs Bunny is or Elmer Fudd's trying to go hunting and it's like he doesn't know whether it's duck season or rabbit season or whatever. That's one of my all-time favorite ones as well.
They're great. There's three of those that are basically all exactly the same and all equally hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're despicable.
Thank you, Mr. Zommer. It's a quote from Daffy Duck himself. Well, Brian Van Hooker, this is an absolutely great article. You can find it at cracked.com. Anything in particular that you're working on besides this great article right now at Cracked that people should check out?
What am I working on? No, I mean, I'm working on a bunch of stuff, but I can't say in case they don't come through or whatever. So who knows? Lots of good stuff on the horizon, but yeah, there's plenty coming out. So
that's just fantastic. I still appreciate you taking this time, and I appreciate the fact that you know the history behind these characters. What a great conversation. Again, we thank Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com talking about some of those great Looney Tune characters. And wow, brings back some great memories. And maybe it's a chance over the Thanksgiving holiday to sit down on, I'm not sure where you can find it, I suppose online or Comedy Central or wherever, and listen to some of those great old Saturday morning cartoons. We thank Brian Van Hooker and his time with us today, looking back on that interview from last week. Stay with us for your chance to grab a Thanksgiving beverage and come back for hour number two of our special show. We appreciate you being here. Once again, this is the Thanksgiving edition of the Tom Allball Show.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power.
However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A spokesman for Qatar's foreign ministry says the Israel-Hamas ceasefire takes effect at 7 a.m. local time, which is midnight Eastern time here in the U.S. Later, Mahed Al-Ansari says a group of 13 hostages